Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, live from Coors Field, talking about some injury updates, Chris Bryant, and mainly about the comments from former Rockies superstars on the current state of the club. Also going to tell you about some minor leaguers making noise, and then Shohei Ohtani pitching at Coors Field in 2 weeks. Maybe? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about that. But let's get things started with the Athletic articles. Andy McCullough wrote an article about some former Rockies players, some notable names, and their comments on their thoughts about the current state of the Rockies. There were five players who were referenced in this article, and I'm going to talk about these comments in terms of spiciness. So the least spicy comment came from Tyler Anderson, who might be a forgotten name, but if you go back and look at what he did, a part of that club in 2016 and then 17, 18, he was one of the veteran young starting pitchers who eventually was an all-star. He's one of the few guys to actually leave the Rockies and be an all-star after his time in Denver. He's now with the Los Angeles Angels. Very well could be and very well will be a strong trade candidate. The Angels really start to fall out of things. But Tyler Anderson discussing their state of the Rockies saying, quote, they didn't get superstars like they got with Trevor or Tulo or Arenado or Blackman. And that's true, right? Those were the guys that were there in the late 2010s. And despite the fact that even still to this day, the Rockies front office are talking about the young players that are supposed to be the next Arenado and Tulo and Story or even Todd Helton, not to say that you've got to be a Hall of Famer, but he was a homegrown guy drafted and developed by Colorado, that those guys were coming. And unfortunately, that never came to fruition. Riley Pint being the fourth overall pick in 2016, the third overall pick in 2015 in Brendan Rodgers, the top pick for the Rockies in 2017, which was not in the first round. The Rockies lost that pick because they signed Ian Desmond, who had gotten a qualifying offer from the Texas Rangers. And when the Rockies signed him, they actually coughed up their first pick, the 11th overall pick. It's still to this date the highest draft pick ever surrendered for signing a player to who had rejected a qualifying offer. So they didn't have the 11th overall pick in 2017. Instead, at Stillwater High School, they drafted Ryan Vilade, who unfortunately did not pan out as they would have hoped for. In 2018, their first pick, 20th overall, Ryan Rollison out of Ole Miss, who unfortunately had various injuries, and we're now seeing him make an impact on the big league roster, but not as a starting pitcher as they would have hoped, now as a reliever. Michael Tolia, 21st overall in 2019, down in AAA. 2020 first overall pick, or the top pick, I should say, 9th overall. Zach Veen down in AAA. Drew Romo, competitive balance round A pick down in AAA. And 2021, things have started to get a little bit better. They've been getting contributions from guys. But you look at that cluster of guys that were selected by the scouting department, headed by Bill Schmidt, who's now the GM. It never really panned out. It never really came to fruition. You know, you got contributions even from guys like Peter Lambert. Garrett Hampson was in that group from the 2016 draft class. But you didn't get those star players that you were hoping for. And you need stars. You absolutely need stars. And then you need the second tier guys. Like Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle, after what they were able to do in 2024, they are great second tier guys. Can they still ascend to superstar status? Absolutely. But they're 2024, going into 2025, have them at that next tier of guy. Two of those does not make for a 63-win team because there's little after that. And again, plenty of guys are developing, but you need all of those players to come together at the exact same time. And the Rockies just hadn't received that from their draft picks, from their minor league system. And so Tyler Anderson, not wrong. I'm seeing a comment here in the chat. Yeah, we're going to get to a spicy one. DJ LeMahieu, who, when he was here at the Yankees, you can watch the video over on YouTube saying in regards to seeing the organization falling apart after he ended up signing with the Yankees and not signing with the Rockies, saying, quote, I think I made the right choice. He did. But in this article from The Athletic, LeMahieu says, quote, I think they're a little behind for sure. That doesn't necessarily translate to wins and losses. It's not like I'm going to point to that and say that's the reason. But I think, joining the Yankees, it was like, quote, wow, they're really, really on top of things here. That was like one of the biggest surprises. The Rockies have the smallest analytics team in all of baseball. According to reports from people that I've spoken to within the organization, the Rockies are the only team in all of baseball to not have their own version of wins above replacement, their own evaluation system in regards to that. And that's going to be one of those things where you're not going to get the most out of your players. And the Rockies need to do that. You look at the Mets, who have a guy who can read when a pitcher is tipping pitches, who can read when there are little tells, subtle tells. And you saw that in a Saturday's game against the Mets, where there were three stand-up stolen bases by the Mets, because New York employs a guy who's not his only job, but one of his main jobs is to watch the other players for tells. Rockies don't do that. That's something that DJ LeMahieu has seen with an organization like the Yankees, where winning is a priority and there's an investment to back up that priority. Arenado saying, quote, Nolan Arenado of the St. Louis Cardinals said, the only way you get out of this, my opinion, is you have to really start over. Trade guys that have value and deal with the restart. But I don't know if that's what owner Dick Monfort wants to do. That's not really what they like to do. No, it's not. The Rockies, I don't think they would still even call this a rebuild, but that's just because that's a no-no word. They don't like that word. That's not a good word for them. They don't like the word rebuild. But that's definitely something that they need to embrace a little bit more. The problem with that is you're not going to have your third straight 100-loss season, and strong odds to suggest you're already going to lose 100 games in 2026, that you're tearing down and you're getting rid of maybe some of the most favorite pieces of fans. That's not a good look right now in the present. That's not a good look to the fans, just like it wasn't a good look for the Houston Astros when they were tanking. But the goal was to win more ball games, realistically, and have it be sustainable success. The Astros are still sustainable right now. The Cubs, you could argue, have been sustainable. They tore things down in 2021. They absolutely did. They trade Javier Baez and Trevor Williams for Pete Crow Armstrong, so that seemed to have worked out. But they were never totally out of it, even when they did choose to break up that team that won the World Series in 2016. So I think that's something that the Rockies just have to embrace a little bit. Problem is, Arenado says, look, you got to trade the guys that have value. Not a ton right now that do. Not a ton that do. And for some of them, their value is not at the high that it very well could be or has been. Brenton Doyle, his value is not at a high. Ezekiel Tovar is currently on the IL. So now might not be the best time to trade those two guys in particular. Trevor Story, still two more spicier comments than what we've heard from Tyler Anderson, DJ LeMahieu, and Nolan Arenado. Trevor Story saying, you want to see them do well, and it's tough to see how it's going right now. Yeah, it's hard. Don't necessarily want to speak on anything further than that. So no comment, which is nice. Maybe that's not spicy at all, but it's certainly indicative of the thoughts that these former Rockies have of the organization. And again, these are players that saw how the Rockies did business, and some of them saw how they did business when they were winning, which is a positive. But then things got worse, and then they went to other organizations and saw how they operate. And that's something that when word begins to spread like that, it does become hard to convince people to come play for your team when guys on the other 29 clubs, and maybe not all 29, are really clicking analytically as much as they should. Every team is dysfunctional in some way. But when word gets out about that, it becomes hard to convince players to come play for you. And last but not least, Troy Tulowitzki, a one-sentence answer of, quote, I don't comment on that organization. Pretty spicy. I don't comment on that organization. Not even saying I don't comment on the Rockies. I don't comment on that organization. Does that mean he's not going to be playing banana ball? I haven't talked about that this week. I got to put that in my notes at some point. I did not win the lottery. I did not win the lottery. Hope you did out there, wherever you may be. And you have an opportunity to win the lottery, to then win another lottery and buy your tickets at a certain time. Very specific rules to get these Savannah Bananas tickets. Pretty, pretty wild. Now, I also talked about the vibes in the clubhouse changing with guys playing Binho. That's nice. Warren Schaefer, this was something that I found to be interesting. And Tiny, who runs the clubhouse for the Rockies, working in lockstep, as they should, about some of the things for Warren Schaefer's office, because he's the new manager. He might want a different layout. In fact, he does and did want a different layout. So he's got his office desk, you know, jammed up against a wall, and then in the center, a couch for, you know, more conversations, more of a hangout spot than, hey, I'm the guy behind the desk. I'm in charge. You know, he's trying to do things differently. You know, I think he's got a couple of pictures on the wall. I think they're eventually going to have the scorecard from his first game there. But now there's a big whiteboard that's got the names of basically every single player in the organization, the depth chart across all the different affiliates. So that's something that's different from Schaefer, that he's doing that Bud Black did not necessarily have. Did Bud Black have a depth chart pronounced? Yeah, of course, but still. Just something different that's going on in there. All right, minor league report. You know what? Let me get to Chris Bryant, because I didn't talk about him when I wanted to. He's back in the clubhouse. Unfortunately, not progressing as well as Austin Gomber has been. KB did have that procedure a month ago. Now it's a little over a month, on May 8th, the ablation procedure, where it basically just singed the nerve so the body is not sending messages to the brain that it's injured. So it's not necessarily fixing the degenerative disc disease that he's got, but it's something that might allow him to play through that kind of pain, because now his body's not feeling that pain. He's not getting those messages. Now he's increasing his activity, but he did say on Wednesday that the running that he's been doing of all the baseball activities doesn't feel well. Playing catch on Tuesday and Wednesday, been fine. He's taken some dry swings, not hitting a baseball yet, but the light running and the dynamic warm-up exercises, it's not great. He spoke to Thomas Harding of MLB.com earlier in the week saying, quote, "I'm just being completely honest. When I do run, I am sore, not just sore, but hurting. We've determined to keep trying and see if it continues, if it improves. That's where I'm at. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking that some days I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some days I don't." I'm not sure if we're going to see Chris Bryant suit up for the Colorado Rockies. That doesn't mean we're not going to see Chris Bryant continually be on the 40-man roster for years to come. We'll see. We'll see about that. But let's talk about the minor league prospects making noise. Sterling Thompson, one of those guys we are going to see at some point this season. Not a ton of room right now in the big league roster. And I know some people are rolling their eyes at that, looking at some of the veterans saying, this veteran is not going to be a part of the future. No, but it becomes really hard to just have a lot of young guys on a team and nobody else. You need some leaders on the team. And I know that can be hard to stomach a little bit. It might be hard to agree with, because I think I would agree on paper, just have all the young guys. But that does mean there's four young guys languishing away on the bench each and every day. Or if you say, well, they can get in the game late, maybe they even play half the game. Okay, well, then there's four other players that are coming out of the game early, and so you're getting half of a game for eight guys. So the math doesn't necessarily work out terribly well, but Sterling Thompson, he's going to be needed to be added to the 40-man roster by the end of season. He's been playing great since May 1st, entering the week 359 batting average with an OPS north of 1,100. He's been really, really solid, and he's going to be a player that is struggling to find a position. You know, I want to say that, you know, he's sort of reminding me of a Sean Bouchard with a little more upside, where he can play the corners and he can play some first base, which is a position of need now to a degree, or it's certainly a position of uncertainty. I'll talk more about what's going on with the first base position here in just a moment, but you've got that happening. And, you know, he did play some second base at the University of Florida, but that's just not really working out for him. So we'll kind of wait and see. I think he's got more of an upside than Bouchard did when he first came up, but he's a player that, you know, will we see him sooner than later? I don't know, because I just don't think there's room for him right now on this roster. We'll see. We'll see what happens maybe after the trade deadline or after a deal is swung for somebody in the infield, whether that's Ryan McMahon, whether that's Tyra Estrada, but that then frees up some room to get Sterling Thompson on the 40-man and 26-man roster. I've mentioned this man's name before, even in the offseason. He's still young. I think he's still 22 years old. And people forget, Warming Bernabéu. He was a thing before. I guess he stopped becoming a thing because he was taken off the 40-man roster. I think he can be a thing again. Saw a lot of top 30 rankings, and he was on the outside of a lot of those. Not for me. He was in the back end. I think I had him 29th because he's still young. He's still contributing. He's playing some first base in addition to third base. And since May 11th, he's been playing really, really well. And over his last 51 games, he is leading the Isotopes in batting average, tied with Ryan Ritter at 305. So that could very well be another young player we see late in the season. Down to AA Hartford, tip of the cap of Brian Castillo. He entered this week over his last 15 games with a 0.84 ERA. Can never use enough pitching. So nice job by that young reliever. Catcher first baseman Jose Cordova. It's a name you might start to see a little bit more. He actually leads the Eastern League with a 421 on base percentage right now. Pretty good for a catcher who can also play first base. I mean, is he Hunter Goodman 2.0? Not necessarily. Now, he did play in the Arizona Fall League last year. He was Rule 5 eligible and was not added to the 40-man. He'll be Rule 5 eligible, of course, again this winter. But he's recorded a hit in 13 of 14 games, playing really well over a certain span. And he's a guy that, you know, maybe could get protected if, you know, the depth chart for the Rockies catchers changes. I mean, they still have three catchers on the 40-man roster, even after Jacob Stallings was given his unconditional release. We'll see if Romo and Fulford are going to be given those opportunities going forward. I don't think Cordova will, there's not going to really be a ton of risk, I don't think, of him getting selected in the Rule 5 draft. He's already 25 years old, doesn't have I don't think, the same upside as Hunter Goodman did when he was performing with the Yard Goats. He's still currently blocked by three other catchers, but it's possible if he gets poached. It's just, there is a dearth of catching depth in the upper levels of the minors. You can get a veteran guy to do that. And you don't really see a ton of catchers taken in the Rule 5 draft because they just don't always have the same upside of younger players who at other positions maybe have one really high tool, really high performance, or like a speed. Think about Everett Cabrera, who was poached by the Padres from the Rockies. He had that elite speed, and that earned him a spot in the majors. You got to go back to like 2014, if you remember Oscar Hernandez, who was selected as a 20-year-old catcher, 20 years old, selected. Didn't stick around very long. He's played all of 26 games in the majors. His last year playing affiliated baseball was in 2019 at the age of 25. Hasn't even played pro ball since 2023. And that was an independent league, the Frontier League. So Cordova, I think, is going to be safe and not something to be too worried about in general. Let's get to some comments here. Philip, have you heard any word on whether the organization will seek a president of baseball operations or an external audit? No, not right now. Is that something the Rockies are waiting to do in the offseason? I don't necessarily think it's going to be better for them if they wait to the end of the year. I think they can do that right now. I don't know if they're doing that behind the scenes. One of the sources that I was aware of that ended up getting squashed, unfortunately, so that didn't come to fruition. Have they gone another route? Is it external? Is it maybe more of an internal audit? That wouldn't surprise me. We did see that when Jeff Breidich resigned or was fired, depending on how you want to look at it. But when Jeff Breidich resigned in April of 2021 and Bill Schmidt was the interim GM, by all accounts, Dick Monfort even said, we're going to look outside the organization. We're going to try to hire the best person for the job. But when the season ended, Greg Fiesel even said, hey, we've already got the best man for the job. He's done what we think needed to get done. And he's proven that he's worth it. So we're going to have him stand pat. We're going to have him continue with his job. Could we see something like that again this offseason of, you know, we actually did an internal audit and we are going to make those changes. We're not going to tell you what they are, but we're going to make a couple changes here or there. That wouldn't surprise me if that's how it ends up going. We'll see. Felix saying, Tulo, my favorite Rocky growing up, a little disappointed. Jeff Terry saying, we're going to win it all this year. Maybe, right? I mean, you just got to win like the next 90 games. And then I think you got a spot. In the postseason for sure. Felix also asking, you think Warren keeps his job, or we need more time? I think he'll probably end up more likely than not keeping his job. I mean, he's already.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
I think he's already shown that, you know, he's making these guys perform better than normal. He's familiar with them. I don't think going outside the organization and what are you going to hire Dusty Baker or Buck Showalter? I don't think that's going to change the fate of the Rockies on field a lot. I think if you hire an experienced manager like that, even a Joe Maddon, a manager like that, you know, A, may not want the job. May not be willing to do what the front office wants their manager to do. And a veteran guy like that, you know, besides not taking the job, if they did, they might be given certain promises and then ruffles some feathers and, you know, make some certain waves saying certain things are not being done the right way and, you know, putting the organization on blast, even ever so slightly. You just don't see that happening in general. That's what makes what James McCann said in Atlanta from a player saying, hey, you don't do that to Craig Kimbrell. That's what even makes that surprising. Teams just don't do something like that. That's professionalism, right? Unfortunately. Fortunately or unfortunately, it depends on how you want to cut it up. But sometimes just keeping your mouth shut is something that's valued in a professional setting. And if you can't hire someone that can keep your mouth shut in that way, then that's someone maybe you don't want for the job. And if you hire someone that isn't going to zip their lip, that could cause bigger problems down the road. And if you don't want those bigger problems, again, don't sign that person. Don't hire that person. So I think Schaefer's doing everything he can to change things, you know, within the house. And I think those things are working as best as possible. So if you bring in better players and you improve this 40-man roster, whether it's, you know, free agency is going to be hard, but still, you can make a little bit of a dent. There are those veteran signings that you can make that can have a small but not insignificant impact. I mean, look back to a guy like Gerardo Parra. You know, there have been those kind of players. Brent Suter, that worked out really well a couple of years ago. There are those players, even on the fringes, that you can make those moves that don't require a ton of investment to get better. Trades. You give Warren Schaefer a better roster, now those things he's doing behind the scenes, they're going to get that much more from the roster. And so, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why he will end up sticking around for next year, because he's done everything and more that the Rockies has asked of him. So we will see what happens with that. 40 saying, look at us. I would take Dusty. Sure. Dusty Baker, that would be fantastic. Look, he even got 2 votes. He was the only non-active manager to get votes in the Athletics survey of over 100 players. Which manager would you love to play for? 2 people said Dusty Baker. So good stuff there from the chat. Appreciate you guys. Let's get back to the minor leagues. Cal Karros back in action after fouling a ball off of his knee, doing a great job. He's now playing a little bit of first base for Hartford. Now, sure, this is a guy that you're saying, leave him at third base. The defense has been solid. Yeah. But when the bat progresses to a certain degree and the position is blocked, you got to find a new spot for that player. That's Hunter Goodman's story right there. He wasn't necessarily blocked at the catcher spot, but his bat progressed more than his glove did. Got an article coming out pretty soon here over on Just Baseball. And that was something that, you know, his teammate and roommate, Braxton Fulford, commented on. That, look, his bat is what got him to the majors, not his catching defense. And so Kyle Karros, while his defense is strong over at third base, he's got his own tarp play. Not quite like Arenado, but he does have a tarp play there in Hartford. He can get himself to the majors, maybe over at first base. And when it's time for McMahon to move on, or he gets traded, or his deal runs out, you can then shift Karros back over to third base. But in the meantime, maybe he becomes one of those first base options if it's not Michael Tolia as your first baseman of the future. The same can be said of Charlie Condon. We're starting to see him now play a little bit more over at first base. He's got himself a nice on-base streak with High A Spokane. And while I've heard some people suggest, you know, call him up, let's get him to the majors, he's not going to be ready for the majors even by the end of this season. He's just not. He might perform. He might take advantage of certain guys that you can do that to at even some of the upper levels of the minors, but he's really not going to be ready until next year. And I think he could be by about mid-season. I think that's very well a possibility. And he's doing enough right now that you can see a promotion to Double A Hartford coming. And once you're at Hartford, you know you're going to get a big league invite to spring training the next year. So that's a given. But it's really been 2.5 weeks that he's been making, Charlie Condon has been making a lot of noise with High A Spokane. So that being said, I think you got to do it a little bit longer, right? You don't want to rush him. You know, the Rockies don't need Charlie Condon right now, because you get Charlie Condon right now, and again, he's not ready. He's just not. But even if you do that now, by the time he's a free agent, is that when you're finally getting good? Or is that, Are you going to start paying him now in arbitration when you're still not good? So you don't necessarily need to rush him. Contracts is, you know, that's the business side of baseball that sometimes is a factor with certain promotions and, you know, certain moves that are made within a 40-man or a 26-man active roster. So Charlie Condon doing his thing as the number 24 prospect on MLB Pipeline and, you know, making you feel a little bit better after Nick Kurtz, who was taken after him, made his debut for the Athletics. Another guy drafted in 2024, ninth overall, Jack Caglione for the Royals, already making his debut. And we're going to have to wait for Charlie Condon just a little bit. You hope with the wrist, the power starts to develop a little bit more. He's hitting for doubles. We're not seeing quite as many home runs yet, but I think that wrist injury he suffered at the beginning of the season is sapping some of that power. So just be a little bit patient with him. And be a little bit patient with 20-year-old infielder Kelvin Hidalgo, his first time over playing affiliated baseball. He's been really solid, 20 total bases over his last 10 games. He's a guy that you're starting to see on more top 30 lists for the Rockies. So a young guy doing his thing over in Fresno. Keep your eye out on Kelvin Hidalgo. I think he's got a couple cards in the 2025 Bowman set. I don't know if he would have debuted last year. I'm not sure how Bowman does it if you have to make your debut over in the States, which Hidalgo did in the Arizona Complex League. So if you're looking to get those early cards, you can get a deal. I was somewhere, I was at a card shop this past week, and there was a bin where I was four for a buck. And so picked up a Cole Messina, a Jared Thomas, a Brody Breck, another guy from last year's draft class. So like, okay, cool. Get a couple of those guys' cards. That's neat if you're into the collecting. So keep your eye out for Kelvin Hidalgo. Chat, what do you got? You think Broncos can let us borrow Bo Nix for a game or two? He was borrowed for two games already, and the Rockies did win when they played the Yankees. So Rockies 1-for-1 with Bo Nix in the building, 4-and-4 when Orlando Arcia starts. We'll see if there's some more revenge game in Orlando Arcia in Atlanta this weekend. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons, MLB, Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Make sure you are checking out all of the live podcasts that I'm doing over there. Subscribe so you know when I am going live, whether it's from the home studio in the Lions Den or whether it's here at Coors Field. You got to subscribe to the Rockies Insider on YouTube to see that and the clips. The clips. Bob Melvin of the San Francisco Giants, previously of the San Diego Padres, Previously, who did Bob Melvin manage before the Padres? Do you remember? Well, it's the 30th anniversary of Coors Field, and I asked them that point blank. What are your favorite memories? What are your least favorite memories? And Bob Melvin said, I can't tell you what he said. You got to go to the Rockies Insider Channel over on YouTube, but I'd kind of forgotten about it. I thought he was going to talk about something with the Padres or his time with the A's. But no, he brought up an all-time great memory for Rockies fans and this franchise history. Bob Melvin said, oh, I'll tell you my least favorite, not my favorite moment, but my least favorite moment. Rockies Insider Channel over on YouTube. Go watch that now. Appreciate everyone dropping by in the chat, giving me plentiful amounts of momentum. But that momentum, unfortunately, can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.